comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are and wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm well aware of the fact you could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. The K-Files has already gone out. It is our usual practice to send it out right after the show on Friday nights, but we had to delay sending it out this past weekend because of the Alternative Universe Conference. I was tied up with that both on Friday night and Saturday, and so we didn't get started sending it out until late Sunday. And because it was late, I wanted you to get this one a little bit early, so we went ahead and sent it out before showtime tonight. And I hope you enjoy it. It's got some cool stuff in it. If you're not subscribed, be sure you do. Subscribing is as easy as going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and right in the center of your screen, you'll see the word K-Files. Click that and subscribe, all right? Our members community continues to grow, and we want to be sure and remind our new members, you know, if this is not a criticism, it's an observation. I've been doing this a long time, and if this is an observation, lots of people, when they join up, they're so excited about getting into the members community, they don't read the road signs. So then there are a lot of things they don't understand. How do you do that? Well, it's really all very, very simple, but the first thing you have to do is read the road signs. If you're going to drive, drive with your eyes open, and right there when you log in, it says, right after you log in, on that first page, it says, be sure you read the new members info. Be sure you do that, because it really does contain very important information. It's not just nonsense. Very key information that will show you how to get around and what to do. And so if you haven't read that, you're going to be lost. And the solution is to just read it. It's very short. Be sure you do that. Also, in the members community, we have a free seminar coming up. And it is called Mars, the Fading Fog. I think you probably want to be present for that. It's free if you're there live, okay? The live presentation is free. Don't expect it to be free later after we have to edit it and process it and do all kinds of stuff to it and make it available then as a video file. But it is free when we do it live as a gift. It's my gift to you to say thank you, and thank you for supporting the show, because without you standing with us and supporting the show, there would be no show. We are totally listener supported. So if listeners don't stand with us and support, then it goes away, right? Well, you do stand with us. And so from time to time, just to say thanks, I throw in one of those free seminars. And I hope you're there. Hope you enjoy it, too. We also have the Alternative Universe Eye Conference coming up in April. It will be the second session. You want to be sure and get your tickets for that. They go on sale on Monday. We're going to step away for a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about Who's Your Daddy? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and I don't know whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, but it's just me and you tonight, folks. And I've got some stuff to present that I think will get the gray cells churning. And I know it's going to get some emotions churning. I know it's controversial, and I know that there are going to be some folks that have emotional tornadic activity tonight. But that's good. That's good as long as that stimulates you to let those gray cells work and really think about the material. You know, all week long, I've been talking about some of these incredible mysteries, and I've been talking about the fact that there are incredible mysteries that exist right here on planet Earth, good old terra firma. Well, there are two mysteries here on this planet that really trump all the others. And the first one is the fact of, and our total embrace of, provable ignorance among us. Collective ignorance. It's absolutely provable. And it's a great mystery that it exists and that we totally embrace it, love it, worship it, want it to remain. That's a great mystery. The second mystery is our collective amnesia and the complete absence of our true history. Who we are, where we came from, and what's been going on here on our home planet in times before us. Now, this is brought on by a couple of groups. You know, it's really odd because I try to avoid and to eschew politics. I try to stay completely unplugged from politics. Now, politics is all about the Republicans and their platform and the Democrats and their platform and this candidate versus that candidate. Or if you're in some other country, your political parties have a different name, but it's all the same kind of stuff. And that's what politics is about. And it's about left wing and right wing. And, you know, the thing about it is, whether you're talking about left wing or right wing, you're still talking about the same bird. There's not really, at the core, that much difference between them, because once there is when they're debating, there is when they're talking and theorizing, writing books and making speeches, but when they get elected, it doesn't matter whether you're on the left or the right, doesn't matter whether they are a Republican or Democrat, the program just continues to move forward as it did before. Not much happens, not much change. You continue to move in the same direction with just very slight variations in policies. That's politics. But it's pretty interesting that within the realm of what we're going to talk about tonight, you have the same thing. You have one wing that's scientific, the other wing that's religious, and really, it's all just the same bird. And I'm going to explore that just a little bit. Now, before I get into all of this, so you'll understand exactly what it is we're going to talk about. What we're going to talk about is the fact that, one, we are ignorant and love it, and two, we do have amnesia as a race, and then wrapped up with all of that will be the causes for that and what can we do to get a peek behind the curtain and see what's really going on there. But before I dive into that, I have an email that I received day before yesterday. This is from Susan in the USA, Susan L. She says, I've heard you say on many occasions that what we know is microscopic compared to what there is to know. But no one can have any concept of what we don't know. So it's hard for me to ever imagine what there is still to know. Can you give me an example of what you mean? Well, Susan, tonight's show is that example. Tonight's show will be all about that. It is, the entire show is an answer to your request, okay? Now, to the rest of you, let me say that this show, although it does answer what Susan has asked, this show was not designed to answer what Susan has asked. This show was prepared and planned and ready to go last week. And I just got Susan's email a couple of days ago. It just happens, though, that it lines up with what we're doing here tonight. All right, let's talk about this incredible ignorance and this incredible phenomena of our race embracing our ignorance, loving it, don't want to move away from it, will fight against leaving that ignorance. Let's talk about that mystery. Where does it come from? Well, it's brought about by the left wing and the right wing of the same bird. They both engender the same thing. So, on the left wing, and this doesn't have, when I say left wing and right wing, I'm not using it in the political sense. I'm not using it in that meaning at all. It's just wing A and wing B, okay? So the left wing, that would be the group that say they are scientists. Now, in the group that say they are scientists, you need to understand that there are people in that group. That group has, they all have scientific training, and they all have technical scientific skills. But that doesn't make you a scientist. Okay? Just because you can play the piano does not make you a musician. You may have the technical skills and none of the art, because it's not in your heart. But you may have the technical skills to play the piano. So the scientists, establishment science, they all have the technical skills to be scientists. They have the training. But not all of them are scientists. In fact, a great many of them really aren't. A great many of them are high priests of a religion. And it's a pseudo-science instead of science. Now, there are a great many who are scientists. Let me tell you the difference. The difference is a scientist, a real scientist, asks questions, and he wants to know why, he wants to know what, he wants to know why, and he wants to know how about everything. And then whatever the data says, it just says. He doesn't try to fit it into a mold. It just says what it says. I'm reminded of the comments of Boyd Bushman, who used to be in charge of Lockheed Skunk Works, chief engineer for Lockheed Skunk Works, and was responsible for making the for developing and making all of the really high tech super secret aircraft that we're all so wowed about here. And so Boyd Bushman was asked about John Hutchison and John Hutchison's data. And it was David Serrata that was interviewing him, and David Serrata said, well, I've heard it said that John Hutchison's data just somehow doesn't make sense. Well, Boyd Bushman says, you know what, it doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be accurate. Data does not have to make sense. It just has to be accurate. Well, pseudoscientists have a preconceived notion that lies at the foundation of everything that they are doing. That's a pseudoscientist. He's got a preconceived notion that things happen a certain way. He accepts that they happen that way. And he's not open to the idea that it can happen any other way. At the base of establishment science is a theory that was dead on arrival. And that theory is Darwin's theory of evolution. Now, you see, right now, I've got half the world, at least, howling, "Why, you don't believe in evolution? My God, you must be a dinosaur." I don't believe in anything. I either know or I don't know, and I know Darwin's theory of evolution is dead. It doesn't work. It's linear, and it does not take into account the age of the Earth. Now, you may think it does, but it does not. It takes into account great ages here on the Earth, but it does not take into account the reality of what was happening here on this planet during those great ages. And we do have evidence, hard evidence, for what was happening here. So that theory is dead on arrival. Absolutely dead on arrival. But then, all of modern science is built based upon that. It all stands upon that foundation. And from that belief, they develop their other theories and beliefs. And if you start off wrong, you end up wrong. And the longer you're wrong, the wronger you're wrong. Did you get that? Let me give it to you again. If you start off wrong, you end up wrong. And the longer you're wrong, the wronger you're wrong. If you leave Earth headed for the moon, and you're off course by 1 degree. It isn't much till you get to where the moon should be and it's not there. The longer you're wrong, the wronger you're wrong. 1 degree's not much when you start, but at the finish line, it can make you miss the moon. And so science has really missed the boat. They've missed the moon on a whole bunch of issues. Now, many of them, you think, well, they're highly trained, and so, you know, surely they would realize if they were off course. And no. You don't understand. It's a religion. It's not a fact. It's a religion. They believe it religiously. And that's why they're howling right now. And if you're howling, it's because you're not open to fact, but you have embraced Darwin religiously. And it's dead. Darwin's dead, and his theory was dead on arrival. The other group that has engendered all of this great body of ignorance are the religionists. And the religionists, they admit that what they believe is a belief. Scientists say, oh no, this is not faith. This is based on scientific evidence. Hogwash. Hogwash. There's no scientific evidence for Darwin. It's all theory, guess, speculation. There's not one single trans-species fossil. Not one. And that's what it takes to prove Darwin correct. Not just the missing link, ladies and gentlemen, between us and the great apes. They say there's many missing links. Well, they're still all missing. It's not just that. Any species at any time crossing the line and becoming something else, a snake becoming a cat, a frog becoming a squirrel, it doesn't happen. There is not a trans-species fossil in existence. All right, so the religionists latch onto that and they say, oh, well, you see, then our theory is correct. But the problem here, they're at least honest enough to say theirs is a belief, it's faith. That's good, and I'm proud of them and proud for them for that. But the same thing holds true. And that is, if you start off wrong, you end up wrong, and the longer you're wrong, the wronger you're wrong. And then what has happened is they have wrapped their faith and belief around the fiction written by professional religionists called theologians and professional clergy, who have interpreted the Bible for them, given them a version instead of translating and just letting it say what it says. And therefore, what they religiously believe is something that's completely foreign to the actual words that are there. Now, that's not true of all of them. Just as I said about the scientists, I said there are some true scientists who really do want to follow the data regardless of whether it makes sense, regardless of whether it fits any of the theories. They follow the data, and it just says what it says. There are some scientists that are like that, and they are to be admired and applauded. They are the only ones providing us with any scientific progress. And among the religionists, there are some who really do just let the words in their book say what the words say, instead of trying to bend it, twist it, and say, well, now, I know it looks like it says A, but, you know, that would go against this theology over here, the doctrine of B. And so then they start working on how you bend A to make it fit B. They try to make it fit the mold. And then the finished product of that is what they write in their books and what they write in their sermons and what they preach in their churches. And so, unfortunately, there are a lot of people then that have religiously and in good faith believed that that is what the Bible says, when it doesn't say anything of the sort. But there are people in that religious bunch who don't do that. There are people who read it and just let it say what it says. And the real scientists and the real religious people that don't do the convoluted fictionalizing, they're not very far apart in what they say at all. Now, this, what I've just said, is just the prelude to tonight's show, because tonight we are going to be taking a look at the question that I mentioned earlier: who's your daddy? You don't know. You don't know. Oh, I know who my immediate biological father is, of course. But I'm talking about our ancestors, our history, our real history. Who's your daddy? You don't have any idea. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and the question, who's your daddy? All right, let's dive into this and let me show you some things, some of which you have seen before, you may be familiar with, some of which perhaps you have not. And let me describe some things that you may or may not be familiar with, and I think you will see exactly what I'm talking about. And we're going to begin with a timeline. So those of you who are listening by radio, I want you to imagine a timeline. Now, this timeline is not an infinite line. It has a beginning, but we don't know where it is. Okay? But we think that it's 4.5 billion years ago. The best science on this says that the Earth is between 4.5 to 5 billion years old, with most of the scientists sort of congregated around 4.5 billion years. All right, now, with the scientists sort of congregated there at the beginning at 4.5 billion years, I want you to imagine a timeline that is, oh, shall we say, 1,000 miles long. And we'll say that represents 4.5 5 billion years. All right, keep that in mind. All right, make the timeline visually in your mind a yellow line, just so we can keep this straight. Okay, it's a yellow line, it's 1,000 miles long, and that represents 4.5 billion years. So where are we on that timeline? Well, we're right out on the front end of it. We're at the now point. We're right on the front end. All right, now let's think about what we really think and know. Have you ever heard of the ancient Egyptians? Sure you have. Built the pyramids and all that, so they say. Standard Egyptology says they were built at 2500 BC. Have you ever heard of the ancient Canaanites? All you religious folks have. You read about them in your Bible, didn't you? Well, the ancient Canaanites that you read about in your Bible, that would have been at around 1700 BC. All right, have you ever heard of the ancient Sumerians? Well, the ancient Sumerians, that's the oldest known city-dwelling civilization on the planet. They're very possibly could be some older, but that's the oldest one we know about. It's the oldest one where we've dug up their cities and their libraries and so forth. Well, that's about 4,000 to 5,000 BC. Now, that's a long time ago. You've heard of the ancient Mayans. Well, the ancient Mayans are not anywhere near as old as the so-called ancient Egyptians. Their civilization isn't. So we talk about all these ancient civilizations, and, you know, we talk about the dim mists of history past, ancient history. All right, so let's transport ourselves mentally from the front of this line all the way back to the ancient Sumerians, okay? Now, in transporting ourselves all the way back to the ancient Sumerians, we have now arrived at 4,000 to 5,000 BC. And if we could go into their library and if we could read cuneiform, their written language, then we would read accounts of people they considered ancient to them, that went back thousands and thousands of years further. In fact, hundreds of thousands of years further. We don't have any of the writings of those ancient people. And as far as we know, we haven't dug up any of their ancient civilizations. As far as we know. Now, we may have some artifacts of their ancient civilizations and not realize it. But as far as we know, we don't. All right, so now here's what we have to do. Let's say that we walked into ancient Ur, Sumerian city, and we walked into the city library, and we could read the cuneiform, and we're reading accounts of people that existed, say, 200,000 years ago. That's pretty ancient, isn't it? Good gracious, 200,000 years ago. That is ancient. So let's say that we could do that, and we'll say that these books have quotes in them, these ancient Sumerian books in their libraries, and they did have libraries, folks. So we'll say these books have quotes from ancient works, ancient literature written by those people from 200,000 years ago. So now we are actually reading some really ancient stuff of some ancient people, right? The fact is, we can't do that. The fact is, the farthest we can go back is to the ancient Sumerians. In terms of literature, we don't have any that goes further back, as far as the civilization goes. All right, now, we do know that there was a civilization that was highly skilled and much older than the Sumerians, from about 12,000, maybe 12,500 B.C. We haven't dug up their cities. We haven't dug up their libraries, but we, the archaeologists, have begun to dig up a very strange site that appears to be some sort of temple site. It's called Göbekli Tepe. So we know they were there. And, you know, this is, they were able to carve into this stone very intricate carvings, very accurate depictions of various animals and other things. And so they are advanced. This is not, you know, knuckle-dragging cave dwellers. And that's 12,500. So, all right, so let's put a stake down at 12,500, and we can say at that point that's the oldest civilization that we know anything about. It's the oldest one we actually know anything about. Now, I'll get email from people that say, well, there were people living over here at that time, and there were people living over there, you know, 20,000 years earlier. Yeah, I understand, but I'm talking about civilization. I'm not talking about hunters and gatherers and nomads. I'm talking about civilization. People who wrote things. Now, Göbekli Tepe, we haven't dug up any writings, as far as I know. However, you can say that they were writing, they were communicating with the artwork that they carved into those stones. That has some meaning. And they're not, you know, stick figures and cave paintings. They're very intricate artwork. So these are advanced people, whoever they are. So we're going to drive a stake down now at 12,500 B.C. On the religious side, there are a great many people who say, well, the earth hasn't been around for any more than 100,000 years. Some people say no more than 10,000. Well, that's got, you got a real problem with 10,000, because we got a civilization sitting at 12,500 B.C. Okay, so at 12,000, look, if it's 12,500 B.C., and here we are a couple of thousand years after B.C., that's 14,000 years, 14,500 years. And so it's pretty provable it's more than 10,000 years old. But we have a lot of folks that say, well, certainly no more than 100,000. Okay. That's on the religious side. On the science side, we have a problem. And the problem we have is the pseudoscientists, because of Darwin's theory, have said that our race has not been here, has not been around for any more than at the, you know, if you really stretch it back, you know, and following that line of evolution back to things that were not really too much like us, but they were our ancestors in the Darwin theory, then maybe 12 million years at the max. There's a huge problem with that. Lots of huge problems with it, and I'm going to graphically explain that and show those who are watching on TV, but I'm going to graphically explain that to you here tonight, what the problem is. The problem is both the left wing and right wing of this bird are dead wrong. The religionist side is dead wrong, and the pseudoscience side is dead wrong, and they are both fervently, religiously committed to their views. And that is producing the huge, enormous cloud of ignorance that surrounds us, Think Planet of the Apes. Remember in Planet of the Apes, you had this general who absolutely did not want people to know that the humans could talk. Absolutely did not want any of his apes to get over into the forbidden zone. It was forbidden. And then you have this sort of government minister who's kind of the high priest of their ape religion. Same thing. Doesn't want any of the apes to ever get into that forbidden zone. And the question is, why is it forbidden? What's in there? Well, what's in there is the crashed spaceship of the original humans who had landed there. And absolute proof that humans were intelligent and that they preceded the apes. So the apes were being kept ignorant of the facts by keeping them away from the evidence. The apes were being kept in the dark. They were being kept ignorant. They were being kept in this cloud of thinking they were the most advanced species who had ever been on the planet. Remember that? Dumb monkeys. And that's what we are. Because we have that exact same thing going on. We have the professional religionists that don't want you to discover what the evidence is, because that runs counter to the fiction they've been teaching as though it were the truth. You have the pseudoscientists that don't want you to discover what the evidence is, because it runs counter to what they've been teaching is the truth. In other words, when you look at the evidence, you immediately and clearly understand somebody's been lying to you. Whichever side you've been listening to, doesn't matter. If you've been listening to the professional religionist or the pseudoscientist, either way, somebody's been lying to you. And they are committed together to keep you from learning the truth. And so on the religion side, they deny the ancient age of the earth. On the science side, they deny something else. Possible extraterrestrials. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and a most controversial topic, no doubt about it. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? All right, so let's talk about the answer to that. We have the professional religionists who write the fiction that shows up as theology, and it shows up in some sermons. Now, look. I'm not painting everyone who is religious with that brush. That's not the case. I am painting a very large number, the majority, with that brush, but not everybody. We have the pseudoscientists, pardon me, and the pseudoscientists, they've been teaching this all kinds of fiction based on their religious belief in a doctrine called Darwinism, which is not science. It is more scientific than anything that preceded it, but it certainly is not scientifically supported, not by the actual evidence. And Darwin knew that, and Darwin even admitted that. And he said it's got to be something like this, but he admitted that the biggest problem he had was there were no trans-species fossils. And that if evolution was happening, where's the thing that's just behind us and where's the thing that's just in front of us? You see? So anyway, they all knew that. Well, here's the problem, though. The problem is we have evidence that there was intelligent civilization on this planet billions of years ago. It's not theory. It's evidence. It's hard evidence that there was intelligent civilization on this planet billions of years ago. And lots of evidence that we had intelligent civilization on this planet millions of years ago. Now, you've heard me say that I think that we have had very high-tech civilization on this planet that were wiped out by some cataclysm, a few straggling survivors. And, you know, I've had people say, well, they would have known, if they were high-tech, they would have known how to rebuild all of this and all that. You don't have the infrastructure. Come on. When you're reduced to, you don't even have a match or a candle, and you're going to build an airplane? Come on. A few straggling survivors. And in that first generation, after the great cataclysm, whatever it was, they would have taught their children how it used to be. Who would have taught their children. But by that fourth generation, it would have been mythology. Just like your grandchildren can only sort of kind of conceptualize what it was like when there were no computers and engineers used slide rules. One more generation and it'll be mythology. And that's what happened. We have had great civilizations on this planet that have been very highly technological, and they've been wiped out. Now, this does not mean, because, you know, some of the civilizations that we've talked about, the Sumerians, the Canaanites, and others, talk about a time when their gods came down from the heavens and lived among them. And they saw their gods and experienced their gods face to face. And now, because we're out on the front end of that timeline, we say that's mythology. Really? You think it is? Well, there's hard evidence that there was advanced civilization, civilizations with advanced technology, millions of years and even billions of years ago, right here on this planet. Now, there could be, as I say, there could be, and I think there was, a time when extraterrestrials came to this earth, walked here among us, lived among us, and may be doing it now. May be doing it right now. But we're talking about whole civilizations with industry that were highly technological. And let me talk about that timeline again. You see, with that timeline, well, let's see if I can find it. There it is. Okay, with that timeline, remember, it's 1,000 miles long. At the left end of it is the beginning, when the earth first formed. By whatever means, it formed. From then until right now, approximately 4.5 billion years. And we're at right now. So we're out on the extreme right end of that timeline. If you take all of the history that we call ancient history, take it all the way back till you get to the point where you have to start saying, well, that beyond that is prehistory, prehistoric. If you deal with all of that time, it would be a tiny, thin, red line right on the end of the yellow timeline. Now look at the rest of that timeline, 1,000 feet long. And one tiny little thread of red right down on the far end of it. A thread. That's the entire amount of time that we talk about when we talk about ancient history. What do you think was going on before that? Well, we're going to look at some hard evidence of civilization prior to that red line. A long time prior to that red line. In fact, we're going to go as far as almost halfway back with hard evidence of advanced civilization. In Russia, they have discovered and have recently released a photograph. They did not discover the photograph. They discovered a chunk of fossil, but what's fossilized in it is intricate gears, very intricate machined gears, a bunch of them, like a pile of them, all kinds. You know, there is a little circle with gears on the outer edges of them. There's a whole bunch of them in there, and these have been certified now by scientists in Russia as actually being from 400 million years ago. 400 million. Now, look, we get told all the time that the dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. So this takes us way back beyond that. And this takes, you know, that means that there was someone here building gears, and that's highly technological. It really is highly technological. And they were doing that 400 million years ago. Now, there are people who will say, well, now that's probably some kind of leftovers that the extraterrestrials threw out of the spaceship. Could be. That's still intelligent beings on this planet 400 million years ago. And this was found at the Kamchatka Peninsula. Now, some of you may remember, it's been a long time, but you may remember I had Paul Stonehill here as a guest several years ago, and Paul Stonehill talked to us about the Kamchatka Peninsula and the very weird phenomena that takes place there at that peninsula. If you go to Japan and then look straight north, you'd be looking into the Kamchatka Peninsula, if you go far enough north. And so here they have found these gears, and from strata that's 400 million years old. How'd that happen? I got more. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour, but we're glad you're here now, and we're talking about who's your daddy. All right, now, I had just been discussing this discovery in Russia of a fossilized chunk of mud, and it's got these gears in it. I mean, they're very clear. You can see them. They are machine-tooled gears, and quite precise. look like they're pretty small, like you would see in, you know, some kind of any kind of small mechanical device that needs gears. Well, that's what it looks like. So there's quite obviously, at 400 million years ago, that's what that dates to, 400 million years ago, there's quite obviously intelligent people on this planet at a time when science and religion say, no way. Well, somebody dropped this stuff off. That's hard evidence. Over in China, the oldest object, artificial object ever found is metal screws, a metal screw, and it's embedded inside a stone, and that has been dated to 6 million years ago. 6 million years ago, somebody with the ability to mill screws and the knowledge, that would be metallurgy, to build the metal from which this is made, and to build the machinery, the lathe, and to have the knowledge. That's high technology. And that's 6 million years ago. It's at a time when pseudoscience and religionists say, no way. Well, explain it then. I'm waiting. Explain it. Pseudoscience says, oh, there weren't any extraterrestrials. Professional religionists would say that, well, if there are extraterrestrials, they're all demons. So the demons are making screws and dropping them off and make in China 6 million years ago, and the demons are making gears and dropping them off in Russia 400 million years ago. Is that right? And then the pseudoscientists say, there's no extraterrestrials. And both of them say there's no humans. Okay, who did it then? Who did this? This is hard evidence. In Texas, that's in the United States of America, it's a big chunk of the United States, a really big chunk of the United States of America, an iron hammer was found. It still had the wood handle right up through the middle of it. And it was encased in rock, fossilized, in a strata that's 140 million years old. No extraterrestrials, according to the professional religionists and the pseudoscientists. And if there are extraterrestrials, according to the professional religionists, they had to be demons. So the demons are making iron hammers and dropping them in the mud 140 million years ago in Texas, right? And both groups say there were no humans 140 million years ago. Certainly, there weren't anything resembling humans that had the intelligence to create a tool like that. That requires metallurgy, and it requires skill to make it and knowledge to make it. And by the way, the composition of that is 98, I think this is right, 98% iron, and the rest of it is a little bit of chlorine and a little bit, I think, of aluminum. Or, as our friends in the UK would say, aluminium. And, by the way, its isotopes are from a time when the atmosphere was richer in oxygen, which it was 140 million years ago. So, if there's no extraterrestrials and there's no humans, explain that. I mean, we're all waiting. We hear all your reasons why it can't be human and it can't be ET. Okay, then who? We want to hear not just your reasons why you think that this is not E.T.'s work and this is not any human work, then who? We know your reasons for why you say it. I don't believe your reasons. Your reasons don't hold water. But I know your reasons for why you say what you say, but I want to hear you say who it is. Who did that? Got a better one. How about this? 500 million years ago in Utah, also a state in the United States of America, somebody was wearing a shoe. Not a knuckle-dragging caveman had shoes on. Left a footprint that's got a heel. And stepped on a trilobite. Trilobites went extinct about 500 million years ago. It was they were sort of the cockroaches of that time. So this is at least 500 million years old because of the trilobite, plus because of the strata this was found in. 500 million years. Somebody wearing shoes. So I got a question for the professional religionist. Do demons wear shoes? See, I think when you look at all of the hard evidence, and I've got a little bit more here, but when you look at all the hard evidence, and there is hard evidence, I don't have time to show you all of it, there's great mountains of hard evidence. When you look at the evidence is there were people here in that great expanse of the yellow timeline. There were people here, and there were civilizations where they were highly technologically advanced. They were able to do stuff. Now, I grant you that you don't have to be high tech to be able to build shoes. I grant you that one. But the point is, it was not a knuckle-dragging caveman. It was 500 million years ago when both the pseudoscientists and the religionists say there were no humans here. And both of them reject the ET hypothesis. And so I just want to hear from either side, okay, who was wearing the shoe and stepped on the bug? If it's not human and it's not ET, who was wearing a shoe and stepped on the bug in the mud 500 million years ago that caused this fossil? I think it's a fair question. I really do. This one takes it all. I've talked about this one a lot. In South Africa, at a mining operation, they were digging deep into the ground, and they were digging through what is known as the Precambrian layer. And that is at... That Precambrian layer is at 2.8 million years. And they found a cache of small metal balls, about the size of a ping pong ball, about the size of a golf ball. They're metal. And around the equator of each of them, there is one, two, or three. This one has three that folks are looking at on our TV station. One, two, or three milled grooves, precisely milled, as if done by laser or some type of diamond cutting device on a machine. They are precisely milled. This one has three. You can see them quite clearly in the picture. Most of them have a little indentation also, a little crater on them. And this one, for those who are watching, you'll see it. It's on the upper right side of the sphere that you're looking at. Nobody knows what these things are. At least I don't know of anybody that knows. If anybody does know, they aren't talking. So apparently nobody knows what these things are. But what we do know is that they are not geological formation. They are not natural. They were built. They were machined. They show high technology. And that's from 2.8 billion years ago. So on this timeline that we have been constructing in our minds, what we think we know is a tiny, it takes up a tiny red thread at the end of the timeline. That's the entire expanse of history that we think we know. And yet we have evidence of civilization going all the way back almost to the midpoint of that timeline. Almost all the way to the midpoint. Who is it that has declared all of that the forbidden zone? Who is it that has done like on the Planet of the Apes and absolutely banned knowledge about all of that evidence? I've just discussed a handful of that evidence. There are, as I said, mountains of this stuff. Some people call them uparts. It means out of place artifacts. Who is it that declared all that area of time off limits, the forbidden area, and none of you apes can go in there? Who did that? Why? What is it they don't want you to know from Earth's real history? We see some of these uparts. We see some of the evidence. We know, I mean, unless you are completely devoid of gray cells, you know somebody did that stuff. And if it's at 400 million years ago, somebody was here 400 million years ago. I mean, that's simple. That's like Occam's razor, right? If it's here and it's from 400 million years ago, somebody did it. Somebody created it. It's here. If it's from 2.8 billion years ago, somebody did it. Who? And why have we been kept from knowing it? Why have we been kept from knowing about it? I bet you there is a great body of knowledge about all of that time and about what's in that forbidden zone, and it's being kept very secret. I bet you that's the case. You know, there are a lot of secret libraries. Even in your own public library, there's a section that only special people get to go in. You know that, don't you? Even in your own public library, there is a section of the library that only people with that library's clearance to get in there can get in there and look at those books and those documents. And that's just your public library. What do you think about the national libraries around the world? What do you think about the Vatican Library? What do you think might be there? I bet you the answer to what's in that timeline is known by some great apes that don't want you to know it. I bet you that it changes our complete perception of who we are and where we came from. I bet you it does. And I bet that challenges the grips and holds of power that the great apes use against us to control us. The forbidden knowledge is in the forbidden zone. And the forbidden zone is back there in that vast expanse of time. And you see, one of the best ways to protect it is those who are religious have their gurus, their priests, their theologians, their pastors tell a story about that period of time that's fictional. Have them say that if there are extraterrestrials, they're demons. Of course, like I said, okay, well, do demons wear shoes? Okay. Do they use an iron hammer? Do they play ball? I mean, come on, you know? That's a little ridiculous, don't you think? But have the religionist gurus do that. Have the pseudoscience gurus adopt religiously this thing about Darwin. If you think that's not a religion, when Darwinism first tried to make inroads into the public schools in America, there was a lot of court cases, several court cases over that, one very famous one. And all they wanted was for the theory to be taught alongside the theory of creation. And just presented to the students and let the students make up their own mind. Just let them know there's another theory. Okay, it got its way. Now, if you don't think that's a religion, just suggest that the theory of creation be taught in public school just so the kids will know there is another theory. You will hear howls around the world, ridicule and pressure and threats as the gurus of pseudoscience protect their religion. And you know, they're getting worse about that because now it's becoming absolutely apparent to everyone that their theory is absolutely ridiculous and unsupportable. And there's hard evidence that both the religionists and the pseudoscientists are working, perhaps not consciously together, nevertheless, the effect is they are working together to keep the forbidden zone in place and to keep us ignorant of our real past, of our real history on this planet, what really took place, and who really was here, and who really was doing what. Well, I've had my say now for 1 hour and 22 minutes. I'd like for you to have your say. And the way we do that is open up the telephone lines. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Now, if you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, we know that the long-distance call to that number can be pretty expensive internationally. And so we have an additional feature for you, and it is called the Flash Message. And I invite you to go and use the Flash Message link at my website. Just go over to kevinsmithshow.com. And when you scroll down and you see the picture about tonight's show, right above that picture, you are going to see a link that says Flash Message. All right, who's your daddy? Well, folks, I think there were highly civilized people living on this planet. I think, and this is conjecture, that in some cases extraterrestrials did genetic engineering. In fact, that is what your book of Genesis says. It comes right out and says it and describes it. And I think that is what happened. I think there was some genetic engineering done, and that what we think of as modern humans were created, and it happened quickly. And by the way, we grew into very advanced civilizations in very ancient times, wiped out by cataclysm, and only just now crawling out of the caves once more. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How you doing tonight, Kevin?
Good, doing good.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, you know, things have come into light, you know, somewhat today. Like with that stuff that's in, what is it, Turkey?
Yeah, Göbekli Tepe?
Yeah, which dates back, you know, way before, you know, what, 7,000 years before the pyramids and stuff. And each time they dig lower, you know, they've gone back, like, I think, 12,500 years and still digging, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And...
Well, what do you think about this evidence from the Forbidden Zone?
Yeah.
I mean, let's go back. See, Göbekli Tepe, yeah, that's old to us, but the fact is... It's you include from now all the way back to 12,500 years ago. So when you do that, or 12,500 BC, I mean, it depends. I've seen both dates on Göbekli Tepe. That's why I'm saying that. Okay, so let's go back to 12,500 BC. Well, from now all the way back to then, that's just a thin red line at the end of the timeline. That's that's not ancient at all.
But, you know, as far as the, you know, the guys who think they got it down patent from the apes to us, you know, that's right out of the Ice Age. And, you know, that's modern man right out of the Ice Age building things, you know. And we're supposed to be just hunter-gatherers, you know, scratching our butt, you know. It kind of blows that out of the water.
It does, yeah. It does.
And also a guy and his boy... found some skeletons in Africa, and he opened it up to the whole scientific committee to, you know, check it out, where these other guys lock theirs away and say, oh yeah, this is a missing link, and they're finding even more. They got a big slate they're digging there, which they're claiming could possibly be a missing link, and showing that we was, you know, here a lot longer than what they think, as human beings.
Well, we have been here a lot longer than either side says. But I'm going to tell you something. There are no missing links. They just don't exist. And I'll tell you why right after this. We have to step away for break. You hang on the phone. I'll be right back after this break. All right, folks, we will be back right after this, so don't go away.
Yeah, and you are smart because you are listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back. Let me pause just a moment and get right back with you, Terry, here in just a second. And let me sort of apologize to folks who are on our TV channel for the weird stuff happening with the audio on the TV channel. And it also happened on the radio channel that time. The problem is that there is a button on the mixer that's sticking. And so when I depress it for it to come up, it's sticking, it's holding, it's not coming up. And I don't notice that right at first, and things have to be timed pretty quickly here. You get that squeal, and plus some other things, music playing during breaks where it wasn't supposed to and so forth. So we'll get a little cotton swab and some alcohol after that and get it clean and working right before tomorrow night. It just started it tonight. Sorry about that. Okay, Terry, I told you... that they're not going to find any missing links, and I'm going to explain why. Okay?
Sure.
Because they haven't. Now, let me elaborate on that. There are literally millions of fossils and bones that have been dug up. And that's from dead stuff. And there's not any fossil anywhere that is a transition from one species to another. Never been found. Furthermore, if Darwin's theory of evolution actually were true, if it actually worked, there wouldn't be but one species alive now. Because when an earthworm, the way the theory works, earthworm develops, you know, it's been developing and it has become an earthworm. And now let's say that it's going to develop and become, let's pick something, a mouse. Okay? So the way it works is over millions of years, an earthworm has a mutation. And that mutation is advantageous to it. And so it lives, and those without the advantageous mutation eventually die out. And this earthworm lives with this mutation. Now all earthworms have that mutation. But then another mutation comes along, and it's advantageous. And the same process happens over millions of years. Those without the second mutation eventually die out, and those that have it live because it's advantageous. It's called survival of the fittest. Okay, well, then when this earthworm finally gets to the point where it is transitioning away from being an earthworm and into being a mouse, those that don't have those mutations die out. Earthworms are gone. And then it finally becomes a mouse, and all that transition phase dies out. Because it's not, it doesn't have the advantageous adaptations or mutations. So therefore, as you transfer or transition from one species to another, his theory kills off what didn't have the advantageous mutations. So by the time this mouse finally develops into us, goes through all the apes and the, you know, and then the knuckle draggers, and finally becomes us, all those others have died out. And the mice have died out. And the earthworms have died out. And there's nothing left except the end product. His theory only, if you actually look at his theory, it only allows those with the advantageous mutations to live. The others vanish. It's called survival of the fittest. Therefore, everything that's not us would now be dead.
Yeah, the only true fact thing that they got that, as far as changing, is that whatever life form it is, if it's suddenly thrust into a different kind of environment,
it adapts.
It can change a little bit to adapt to its new environment, but there's no changing from what it really is.
Well, that's true. Do you know what a langostinos is? Langostino? It's a small lobster. Okay? They find them off the coast of South America. It's a small lobster. It's they are bigger than a crawfish, crawdad, bigger than that, and they are saltwater. But they are nowhere near the size of the lobsters that we see in restaurants. So you have langostino alive right now, and this past week I saw on YouTube where a fisherman had caught a lobster the size of a baby.
Wow.
Okay, so what would we say if both of these, a langostino and this lobster that's the size of a baby, you know, what was it, 6 pounds, 7 pound lobster, big lobster, great big lobster. I mean, is it really, it's about the size of a child. Okay, so what do we say 1,000 years from now if these are fossilized and we have the pseudoscientists looking at it and they say, well, you see how they progressed from this to that? Nonsense.
Yeah.
They're both here now.
You know, the big lobster came from a long ago, but now they shrunk down to a regular lobster today. You know, everything was supposed to
There's a lobster the size of a baby alive today. It was caught last week.
Yeah, they're finding a lot of creatures. They supposedly found, they claim, this fish from long ago that kind of had like an alligator's head, and they believe that it could come in and out of the water, and that was our progression, you know, from the sea to land back in the day, whatever.
Well, all I ask is that they stop talking theory and show me bones. That's all I ask. If they're going to believe this theory and they're going to push it off on everybody else, all I ask is, where's the beef? Show me the transition. It's not a missing link. It's literally billions of transitions that we ought to be finding fossils of, and we're not.
Well, I've seen human footprints alongside dinosaurs. In Texas, you know, inside the dinosaur footprints and walking alongside of it, you know, laid down at the very same time. You know, I'd like them to explain that to me.
Well, there you go. There you go. Hey, yeah, Terry, you got another thought?
Yeah, I was just saying the Vatican, they do let loose of some of them books. I mean, that's how we got this last Notre Dame book out. That they had, they sell off some books. I don't know where or when, I can't remember, but they release some books, you know, at a certain time, you know, every so often.
But they, they have millions that are locked in vaults.
Oh yeah, their vault is like they said it's like equal to like 50 miles, and then they have a secret vault where they won't let nobody in. Period. But they claim that there's so many books in there that, you know, they don't even know what they are, and so many languages and stuff that, you know, is there a reason why that they won't release them, because they don't know what they are or whatever.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I bet you that in there they have books in languages they don't even know exist. I mean, languages that they have no idea what those languages are. I mean, it's not like Etruscan. You see, with Etruscan, when they see it, they know it's Etruscan. They just don't have a lot of it translated. Okay?
Right.
I bet there's languages in some of those books, they don't even have any idea what those languages are. Okay? And I bet you some of that is from this forbidden zone in time.
Yeah, that could be.
I
had a thought, though, with all them balls that they find, and there's so many of them.
Yeah.
You know, it just reminded me of Vegas, you know, where they clean coins and stuff, make them shiny again.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of makes me think, I don't know what they're made out of, but back, you know, supposedly in a day, you know, that, you know, there was ancients here, you know, mining for gold. You know, it's kind of a primitive way, but you know, maybe they had a machine that these balls rolled around in and ground it into real fine powder, you know, and that's why there's so many, and that's what they are. I don't know.
Could be. And if that's the case, they were doing it 2.8 billion years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? Demons wear boot prints or wear boots?
Yeah.
Okay, Terry, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I do appreciate it. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Spardella Giulio in Belgium has sent us a flash message where he calls my attention to a series of 12 pre-Atlantean holographic disc records from 246,000 B.C. Yeah. That's quite a story as well. So what do you think about this, folks? There's a forbidden zone in our timeline that neither, quote, science nor, quote, religion wants you to go. And they will do everything possible to steer you away from that information and from that evidence. But the evidence is there. The evidence exists. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Clay from Arkansas.
Clay, who's your daddy?
That's a good question. Wonder, like on Star Trek, you have people, a government, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this government is messed up like our government today.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they're all given an assignment to feed the earth with a life form, okay? And 10 of them are doing this, and then it basically gets messed up, and you have some people with time, traveling through time, and then you have some people. Are you still there?
No, I left.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But basically what I'm trying to say is genetic engineering happened, and you can go back to Neanderthal man and humans. What I think is that they didn't know whether it was going to be a cold planet or a hot planet. So basically what they done was they created two life forms at the same time, and I just like your opinion on it.
Well, you know, everything you're saying, Clay, goes right along with what Genesis actually says. Okay, Genesis actually says that you had the family or descendants of El called the Elohim, and they did everything in Genesis chapter 1, including they created a race of beings in their likeness on day 6. Then on day 7, they rested, they finished, they were through. Sometime after day seven, and we don't know how long after that, it could have been millions or billions of years after that, El shows up for an inspection tour. And he says, hey, you know what? There's not a man here to till the ground. In other words, there's nobody here intelligent enough for agriculture. So he creates one in his image, and he breathes into him the breath of life, which is genetic transfer, and that's Adam. So that's what Genesis actually says. I mean, those are the words that are there. I didn't publish that. That's what's there. Clay, I gotta run. We got a break coming, and thanks for the call. Alright, folks, we'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and we still have time for a call or two. We'd like to know what do you think about this? Look, there's a forbidden zone in what you know about your history. A huge forbidden zone. As a matter of fact, almost all of Earth's history has been closed to you and to me by the great apes of science and religion. What do you think about the forbidden zone and the evidence that we've talked about here tonight? It's hard evidence. What do you think about it? Caller, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. You are live on the air. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is your old friend from John from Mesa.
John, who's your daddy?
Well, unlike the other guy, I know.
Uh-huh.
Unless that was an inside joke that I'm not privy to.
No.
Anyway, back to your question about, you know, all of the fossils and things. I think it goes without saying that there have been many intelligent civilizations on this orb we call Earth.
So you don't think you don't think demons wear boots?
Most of your viewers that will listen to you already accept that there are many intelligent civilizations that know about it, and we may have a great situation here. There may not be all that many ideal Earths, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you find an oasis, you keep coming back, even if chances are it destroys, or it destroys itself, or the people on it destroy it, or circumstances with asteroids and whatever bring it to a close, those other civilizations will come back and reorganize it and settle it again because of its setting. You know, it's kind of like developing a city or developing parts of a city because of its ideal location.
Well, yeah, and you know, I can see it being analogous to, for instance, the great tsunami that swept through the Indian Ocean, and back in what was it, 1996? Anyway, killed 250,000 people, wiped out a whole bunch of resorts, and wiped out a bunch of towns along the beaches and so forth, and now all of that's been rebuilt. Why? Because it's a great setting and people want to come there.
Right. Very, very good example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I could see that. But here's the deal. Do you think, perhaps, you think demons wear boots?
Well,
I don't know. I'm just asking.
There are earthlings that I would call demons, yeah, and they probably wear boots, you know.
Uh-huh. Well,
in the biblical sense of the word, no.
Well, you know, and the point I'm making is this. There's absolute proof that there were intelligent civilizations with high technology that were here. And we're talking about they were here as far back as 2.8 billion years ago.
And they could also have existed with Stone Age man.
Quite possible.
And just because scientists are punching a hole into the Earth and finding Stone Age man now, there isn't a progression of the entire world through Stone Age to modern man. Modern man only represents a small portion of the world today. We still have Stone Age men living in Central and South America and Africa.
Sure we do.
Who have no clue what modernization is all about.
That's absolutely right. And, yeah, I think that's absolutely true. So, you know, I think what has happened, I think it's pretty clear, is that you had these very highly technological societies, civilizations, and as you say, maybe also some Stone Age type civilizations at the same time. But some great cataclysm wiped them out, and they crawled back out of the mud and rebuilt, and then maybe got wiped out again. And here we are at the end of this timeline, and I don't mean that the timeline is now going to stop, but we're on the front end of it.
Right.
Okay, so here we are on the front end of the timeline, and we are really just now beginning to dig our way back out of the mud. I mean, think about it. 4.5 billion years, and we have the audacity to call 12,000 years ago ancient.
Right. There, you know, there's absolutely, you know, there. I know of some religions who even mention that in their beliefs. You know, they talk about reorganizing the earth rather than creating it.
Mm-hmm.
That the true translation was a reorganization under the current plan to repopulate.
Well, that's exactly what Genesis says.
Exactly.
You know,
I know.
And I mean, it isn't what the churches teach, but that is what Genesis actually says, what the words actually say. That's what's published. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning,
those of us who had a little fight, you can't destroy matter.
Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, that's before day one of this so-called creation. That's in verse 1. The first day of this so-called 6 days of creation starts in verse 3. So there you have the earth already in existence.
Right.
Genesis 1:2, and the earth became formless and void. Something happened to it. I know the English translation says was, but the Hebrew word is hayah, and it means became. And the earth became formless and void. Something happened. We don't know what happened, and we don't know when. It's just before that day one of those 6 days of recreation. And then, if you literally translate the Hebrew, every time he says, and God said, let there be this or let there be that, for instance, let there be light, the literal translation of the Hebrew there is God said, let there again be light, let there again be this. But it's not God, it's gods. And the gods said, let there again be this, let there again be that. And then, interestingly, when they created that race of humans that's not us, it's a different race, on day six, they said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so, man.
And right there in the Bible, we talk about this world having had previous inhabitants, right in our own scriptures, but people read over that so quickly that they don't see or they haven't studied like you have the real translation and the words that are there.
Well, even in English, if you just read it in English, it'll blow your socks off because it doesn't say what you got taught it says. All right. Listen, I have to run because we're almost out of time.
I know. I like to wind your show down on every time I call.
Well, thank you very, very much for the call. I appreciate it. Yep, I know it's controversial. I know it's a paradigm-shattering concept, but most truth really is. And if you examine the evidence, the truth is somebody was here, and they had a whole lot of high technology as far back as 2.8 billion years ago. Who's your daddy? All right, just remember also that we have coming up this seminar called Mars, the Fading Fog. And it's free for those who are members. There are no tickets to buy, okay? You just be a member and you get in on it, the free presentation of that seminar as a gift, because I want to say thank you for supporting the show. If you're not yet a member, fix it. All you have to do is click where it says join up, and you're good to go. And you'll get in on that seminar. Be sure you go to the announcements forum, and you'll see the date and time announced there in the announcements forum. Also, let me say this. If you don't happen to, if you don't read the new members' info, you're never going to find how to get to the announcements forum, and it's really simple. So be sure you read the new members' info. All right, that's going to do it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.